species of icicles.
Yeah, of course. I know.
It's a shame.
Oh, hello there. Hey. Didn't see you come in.
Welcome.
Welcome back. It's Millennial Dumpster Fire. Yay.
Please, come in.
We heard some of your comments on one of the previous post games and decided to come back in the show. And by decided, we threw Tim Collins into the equipment room and locked the door. Yeah. So for now,
he'll be getting thirsty soon.
Yeah.
So let's, you know.
Yeah, so we'll be quick. We can't be too mean to him. My name is Asher. I'm TYT's resident billiards expert and kitten playtime coordinator.
Awesome. And I am Ja'Cory Palmer. I am the resident clergy and relationship expert.
Yes. And today, we're just going to be talking about millennial stuff, you know, like Nickelodeon and Capri Sun and
Skechers.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Skechers.
Skechers.
I bought my Game Boy with me.
Oh, sick.
You know?
Do you have Game Boy Color, though?
No, of course not. Stick to the original.
Yeah. Did you ever have the Game Boy that had, it was like, what was the attachment that you put on top so you could—
The reading light?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the only way— I remember making the decision because like I had the Game Boy and I'd be trying to play in the car and I only could play like by the flashes of street light a couple more feet, in a fight. Okay, I can't make my move till I get a flash. Okay, got it. All right, and like trying to space it out. So I was like, I'm getting one of those lights. I have to, and I got one of the lights.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother left one Game Boy in a rental car and one Game Boy on an airplane, and then we were no longer allowed to have Game Boys.
Game Boys are the devil.
I know, rip Game Boy.
They bring out the worst in people.
Yeah, they do. The forgetfulness, yeah. So as a as a small child, we were very jaded about Game Boys. Never had a power glove. Oh, I did have one of those this is also video game related. I had one of those Nintendo pads. Do you guys remember
those?
They're like pads. Yeah,
what's the trackpad?
So it's like this little pad that you put flat on the ground, and it's connected to your Nintendo, and you jump on it, and so you can like act like you're running in the Olympics or something.
It was Wii before Wii Fit. That's baller.
Yeah, Edwin knows.
That's super baller. Nah, I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
I didn't get Fit.
So the original Nintendo console, you know?
Yeah, OG Nintendo.
Right. So, you know, we're just a couple millennials. And we like to ruin things. We're the worst. Ja'Cory and I believe that our generation is very misrepresented. You know, we have a lot of obstacles in our way, a lot of things that are out of our control, but I think that we're a really resilient generation and we're really working hard and we don't get the credit that we deserve. So we decided that we wanted to kind of represent that voice a little bit more and talk about some things that we get a hard time for, which I think are out of our control, but also have a little bit of fun with it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Jump on into it.
So I think the biggest thing that we've both noticed recently is that millennials ruin everything. We're killing everything. We're ruining everything. So we just wanted to, you know, and that's been brought up on the main show. It's been brought up on other things. You've probably read the articles. But we wanted to just talk about a couple things that as millennials we are destroying.
Yeah. Right. I think first and foremost, we're like an easy common denominator. We're the easy scapegoat. We're just someone to blame. We're someone that, as far as people have mainly understood up until recently, like we didn't have a voice of representation really. Like we weren't in the jobs and of media, we weren't in the jobs of journalism, places where we could have our like opinions and voices heard. So we were the easy kind of like, they're doing this and that and this and that, and we didn't have any say in it, you know?
Right.
But now we're starting to I'm seeing more articles that are kind of refuting and explaining kind of why the cause and effect of decisions made far before we were here are causing the economical, social, and even political situation we're in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I do. That's a great point. I think a lot of organizations, news articles are, refuting those points, not just kind of presenting the evidence of the studies, really, you know, offering commentary on why this is. And, you know, what are some of the reasons and why some things that we're destroying are good. Like, chain restaurants, boring like chain restaurants and things like that. But you know, we'll get into that. But the first thing that I wanted to bring up, this is the most recent article that I read, is that millennials We're just not into boobs anymore. No. Nope. Ruining boobs.
That's it. Boob game is over. That's it. The jig is up. The jiggle is up. It's over. We don't play that shit anymore.
So new data released by Pornhub has revealed the younger generation less interested in boobs. Data exhibits young adults ages 18 to 24 are almost 20% less likely to search for breast-related content on Pornhub. Whereas 55 to 64 were 17% more likely. And they even said that it's not just with porn, that the British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons said that there's a decrease in breast enlargement surgery as well. They've seen a 20% drop in breast augmentation surgery. There was one member of that same organization who says that it's more of like a fashion thing, which the quote is, it was the in thing, like, 10, 20 years ago to be big-breasted, the whole I'm a Baywatch bimbette, which I take offense to that phrase. But yeah, so what do you think some of the reasons are that we're just like not as interested? And that's from a Playboy article by Bobby Box.
Yeah.
What do you think? Why do you think we're not like I think into boobs?
Definitely in boobs. I think it's definitely inspired by just the trend in sexuality, first of all. Like, I think it definitely was a trend you saw, maybe I think inspired by porn. Big-breasted women was like a trend, and it was like the hot thing to aspire to, and it clearly shows by data. But then I think for whatever reason, I think personally it's a prevalence. I think it's the prevalence of like hip-hop that changed it from like boobs to like ass is the coveted thing by the mainstream population. So maybe that has something to do with it. I think that's like maybe like a surface level reason, you know?
Yeah.
But like without diving deeper, if you want to.
Yeah, no, I think that kind of ties in with fashion and, you know, what's trending. And I feel like we're more into the behind. And ladies with the thicker bottom region, I'm trying to be very polite in using these phrases. But it definitely is more of a trend, and you see that. And I feel like there's more people who get that kind of surgery, like implants. In the behind.
Was that a thing before? Like, I know like breast surgeries had the prevalence, but like, was butt surgery really a thing? Or is that like super recent? Because I feel like I never heard about it before,
I feel like I think it's more mainstream now.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it always happened in the shadow.
Someone who got it was like, they're getting the works.
Yeah, you know? right.
But it wasn't as big of a thing. I mean, and even in the 90s, like, saying you had a big butt was an insult. Like, my butt's so big.
Sir Mix-a-Lot's like, I like big butts. Yeah. It was like a controversial and like groundbreaking songs. Mm-hmm. Like, that was his like confession. Like, that was his equivalent of Usher's confession. Was like, listen, I can't hold this in anymore.
R. Kelly's all right? Real talk.
I like big butts. I can't lie anymore. I've been living this lie for too long. I need to come clean. Like, any other brothers with me? Can you deny? Nah? All right, just me? All right, fine. I can't deny it anymore, man. That was his, you know, he was coming clean. And I think that was kind of like maybe the turning point. Thank you, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for speaking your truth.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. So, I think he's been knighted.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
For sure, sir.
I like the mouse. There's a mouse on the screen.
What mouse? Magic.
Millennials, we use the internet. Remember dial-up?
Boo.
What do you think the next, before we get into other things that we're destroying, what do you think the next body trend's gonna be?
The so we next have, you know, boobs, body trend.
But is it gonna be like real into elbows or something? You know?
I think it'd be hilarious if it was another like mundane part, but I think the real trend, which I personally am all about, is body hair coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's cool as fuck.
Yes, I think that totally could be, body hair for everybody.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, the 70s are coming back, at least in fashion. A lot of like, especially for men, like longer hair and shirts that are buttoned like there. Yep. It was just adding the addition of body make that noise hair.
just all of them at once, just like just one smooth motion.
I just gotta rip these buttons.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, bring back, yeah, arm hair and stuff.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, everyone kind of like living there. Just like the human body does a lot of awesome things for us and knows a lot of things about what we need and don't need. It grows hair in the places it should. It doesn't grow hair in the places it shouldn't. I think it's kind of wise to let it do its thing. It handles a lot of things that I kind of don't understand. And to kind of say like society's opinion on what, you know, I do with my body is more important than what my body says I should do with my body is seems a little backwards. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that because we do have a lot more of like, we're going to talk about it in a little bit about body positivity and the body positivity movement that's really been happening recently and within our generation of just being more comfortable and open with the way that you naturally look. And I think that's also because we're seeing a lot more diversity in media and advertisements. So you realize that it's impossible to have kind of one standard of beauty. So that since we have so many different people and different faces and people are being more true to themselves and being more open about their own truths. I think, you know, we're leaning more towards natural beauty and just sort of, you know, the way that you look. And so that means that I think the next move is going to be all natural. But then in like another couple decades, it's going to be intergalactic, very unnatural looks. Like we're just going to all look like robots or the Tin Man, or like we're going to have hair like in places that doesn't have hair, like I'm gonna put fake hair on my elbow. I'm just onto the elbows. Yeah, I think
I'm just
the
going
next
for
way.
Straight nose, like tip of the nose hair, like almost like Rudolph the hair nosed reindeer. There we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Nailed it. Just like a tip of black fur right there.
Rudolph, the most attractive of the reindeers with his furry nose.
His furry nose.
He gets it dyed.
Ooh, I just thought of other things that a furry nose could mean.
Like a cat?
Yeah.
Like a little fuzzy cat. See, I am the kitten coordinator
for the office. So you thought it was
cats
a
are
joke.
Always on the brain. What are other things that we're ruining?
Aren't we ruining the housing economy?
We are. Mm-hmm. We're not buying houses.
Yeah.
That's because we hate houses. We are raised on hating houses propaganda.
If I see a roof, I lose it. Mm-hmm. If I see a roof, hives, four walls and floors.
Anger sweats.
Mm-hmm. I don't play with houses. Houses. Dumpsters is where it's at.
House high.
You know? House high. Mm-hmm. House
high.
House-y?
This is actually a picture of our apartment. Yeah. We it's a duplex.
Yes.
It's a split level.
Yep.
So I'm on that part that's really on fire. And Jacory's on the nice part.
I'm the second flame. Flume of flame right here. Like this is, you know, that's where my mixtape's being made.
Yeah.
It's fire.
Get out.
It's fire.
It's lit.
It's lit. I feel the need to clarify, I don't really have a mixtape. I'm not a rapper, I never have been, I never will be. I just, so you guys know that. Don't look for
like
it, it doesn't exist.
I do feel like just making you like a friendship mixtape though.
Yeah, do it. That hits me right in the feels. Like if that would, endless replay value.
Right, we're millennials probably ruin. I would argue that millennials aren't ruining mixtapes.
No.
I think that we still like to be thoughtful and things that are, you know, more analog, you know, that aren't in the digital space are more kind of revered and seen as precious. So that's like a really thoughtful gift. Like that was my high school graduation present from one of my best friends.
Yeah.
She made each one of us a mixtape. And it's so thoughtful, right?
Yeah, so, super.
Yeah, so that's one thing that we're saving. The 9-to-5 work week. Millennials are demanding more flexibility in their jobs, and now 40% of U.S. workers can work from home.
That's a crazy statistic.
They don't unplug at 5 p.m. So we're ruining like a traditional work week, which I think we're also ruining.
Let's break the wheel.
One, can't get traditional jobs, and two, work in fields that demand, I don't know, different time demands. I feel like a lot of millennials too, one, because we're broke and kind of riddled with debt, we're kind of working a lot of gigs. It's harder to get more steady work. It's harder to get more. There's not as many full-time options out there, and there's not as many 9-to-5 option. So I think because we're more gig-based workers, as well as we have to hustle a lot more, you can't really work those traditional jobs. What do you think?
Right. Loyalty with companies isn't something that exists for us like it did with our parents. Mm-hmm. People move around quite a bit more, and the market is so saturated with people that are able-bodied and able-minded to do so many jobs. So companies don't really value the specific employee like they used to. So in response, we no longer value sticking to the company like our parents used to. So we like to bounce around with that, and that in turn affects housing as well. Because like not knowing where we're gonna be, what opportunities may arise, what jobs we may bounce to and from, we're not going to settle down and make a commitment to a place for long term. We don't know what opportunities may come. We don't live in the same communities, unfortunately, that our parents used to, that were widespread, that you could grow up and know the same watch salesman or watch repairsman or vacuum salesman. And he has his shop and he works there for his life. It's not like that anymore. Corporations have won the first few battles of the long, long war. And unfortunately, we have to kind of respond and work accordingly. We don't have small mom and pop companies that are surviving anymore. It's hard to survive as globalism takes over as a mom and pop company. But at the same time, we still see support for those, you know, as I think we support those quite a bit more than, I mean, at least my parents did, like middle class, middle America. Like, I feel like they love chain restaurants. And like, that's something that you mentioned earlier that we're starting to move away from and starting to throw our money back into mom and pop restaurants.
That's such a good point, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that it's more of, you know, smaller shops. You can even say kind of divier places.
Yeah.
Things that aren't major chains. Like I feel like it's a badge of honor to have that one place that's, you know, tucked in a strip mall or, you know, around the corner or up a staircase in a shady building.
Certainly.
Just finding things that are more affordable, but also taste better.
And I think fresher ingredients, like better sourced ingredients. And I know this is something that mostly like Los Angelinos care about, but it's, you can know where your food comes from. You can know where, like, how it's treated and how it's ethically raised or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think that we're seeing a reflection in the market of, like, we value it, so they're starting to reflect it.
And I think there's also like a certain comfort in a chain restaurant, so you know what you're gonna get. But I think now, you know, because we're so tech savvy and we're plugged in all the time, there's a lot of resources to know what's good and what's not.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to just depend on a brand name like, oh, I've heard of that before, I can go there, whether it's shopping or eating, whatever. You can look online, you know, you can do your own research, mm-hmm. and you can find out, you know, what's really good and what isn't. And news alert, a lot of big box things aren't that great. They're not ethically as great. So there's so much more information. And with that, I think we're making better choices.
Definitely.
In our consumption. Oh, God. I'm glad this is dying. Cruises. Cruises is one of my biggest fears.
Gracious. I've been on a cruise.
Have you?
Yeah. I was like 16 and I loved it. It was so great. It was like my first wave of, pun intended, my first wave of independence, because we were finally on a place that was like large enough to be considered its own municipality, but I can't go anywhere in theory, you know what I mean? Unless I'm going overboard, then there's like a bigger problem, but and it's not really my parents to solve at that point anyway, so they just kind of let me roam the ship free, and I was literally like able to run around and just go crazy.
Yeah, okay, so it says, cruising has been a designated option for an older crowd, taking an additional hit after a string of high-profile gaffes, including on-sea disasters and shipwide illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
It says, after being accused of nearly getting rid of the cruise, millennials are showing signs of bringing it back to life. After the industry took a number of measures to attract them.
And that's a bummer.
For me, I think those measures would probably be, it's super affordable now. I don't know. Yeah, I've been called by cruise companies before to be like, we want to give you a free cruise.
Please
tell
do
us
anything.
What it will take.
Yeah.
I've like actually gotten those calls before.
Yeah.
But I've seen videos. I saw this one video on a cruise ship of like an elevator covered in blood. And someone like died in the elevator shaft. I don't know what happened, but it's just, you know what I'm talking about.
What kind of commercial?
It looks like The Shining. It's just blood streaming down.
Oh.
And all there is like a caution sign. But like, please walk around. Please walk around the elevator that's covered in blood.
Yeah.
A worker got crushed.
Edwin.
Elevator.
Yeah, Edwin, our resident elevator and transportation expert at TYT, told us that it was a worker got crushed. There was that one ship that just turned sideways, so there's just like poop and stuff like going down the wall. That's terrifying to me. I hope that dies.
The one thing I changed my opinion on it, like I said, I went on one and loved it personally, but it completely changed my opinion. Someone said, I think it was a Family Guy joke that said, have a D-class family take a C-class vacation and pay for B-class. And like, imagine it's A-class. Like, it's such like a, it's such a weird, like, we're gonna have a private room around hundreds of other people on our own ship around hundreds of other people with a bunch of pools and jacuzzis with a bunch of other people. Like, it's so like, it's such a mix of like luxurious, but there's a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a funny combination.
We all had the same idea.
we all wanted to get away from
you
things
too?
Together.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
We're alone on the ocean. Together. some other things, relationships, marriage, and sex.
Yeah.
Millennials aren't just having less sex, they're also dating less frequently and more casually. Only 14% of people ages 18 to 29 were living with their partner in 2014, and fewer millennials use boyfriend or girlfriend to describe their dating partners.
Hey.
And then with marriage, millennials are marrying later and less often. Jacory, hot takes. Why do you think this is?
All my millennials who are independent, throw your hands up at me. Yeah.
So Beyonce is the reason.
Yeah, Beyonce
is
the reason.
Everyone's listening to Beyonce.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Beyonce is always the reason. Beyonce is the reason for the season. Beyonce, bless you. No, but seriously, I think we value our independence so much more, and being an individual, a single entity striving for personal growth and personal happiness so much more. We're coming out of age of marriage where it was the ideal for hundreds of years of stability, and that was you needed it for certain like housing things, and it was easier to get loans, and it became like a vital passing sign of community in society. Like, it was like, I'm married now. Like, that means, you know, I'm vouched for.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Mr. or Mrs. And it means something. It gives you like an upper level of society. But I think we're starting to break that down completely, which I think is beautiful. Because I don't think monogamous marriage, I don't think marriage, I don't think relationships, I don't think everyone's meant to be in the certain structure that marriages allow, at least for now. I think we're starting to move out or like, you know, explore our own stuff more, as opposed to getting hitched young and just sticking it out. And
yeah, I think because we now realize that the world is not black and white. It's very complicated, and that you don't have to kind of do these things because you have to do these things. I feel like before it was very much like you know, you get the education, you get the job, you get the spouse, you get the house.
Wow.
And
bars,
these are all
mixtape.
Yeah.
Fire.
And so these are all investments. And I feel like it's harder for us to invest and put up roots. We really have to kind of be really adaptable because things are changing constantly. You know, things are changing a lot faster than I think they were before. Our world is changing. We just really have to adapt to, you know, technology changes. But also, I think now we're seeing that there's so much more to life. Not to say that love and marriage and things like that aren't wonderful, beautiful things. They can't be great for someone. But I think that we're now realizing that just being driven by your own passions and what you're meant to do and taking care of yourself, not in a selfish way, but, you know, working hard and, you know, building a career, building a great body of work, if you're a creative person or something like that, doing meaningful things in life, that doesn't just mean a relationship, because sometimes relationships can be terrible and they can ruin your life. So just, you know, being married before was like, check, great job, you know. But I think now people realize that it's what you do that's more important.
Sidebar,
I don't think selfish is an inherently negative thing. I know connotation-wise, it's negative,
yeah,
for sure. But I think being selfish is really important. I don't think you can really help other people and serve other people, your community, and your, you know, larger picture until you really, really take care of yourself, until you're taking care of your mental well-being, your emotional well-being, your physical well-being, your health, your vitals. You're making sure that you're taken care of. You can't be a usable tool until you're, you know, the sharpest tool you can be, you know? So I think being selfish is good in a way, and I think a lot of people need to be. I know so many people, and I guess I'm fortunate to know so many people that give of themselves so much, they forget to be a person and understand that they have the same wants and needs that they're trying to provide and secure for everybody else, and they don't take time to really make sure that they're maintaining their own wants and needs, and that breaks you down eventually as a human being. So I think that's really important to be selfish in a certain way. You can definitely be selfish to a detriment, but you know,
right.
Practice some selfishness, practice some, you know, fight for yourself, care about yourself, and you know, you are your number one priority. You got to keep yourself going, I think.
I think that's great. Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I feel like this generation is a lot more of an individual one. You know, it's a lot, you know, your individual path. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you meet someone along that path, that's great. But it's, you're kind of, no one else is looking out for you. You got to look out for yourself.
Absolutely.
And you really have to fight for yourself. So I think, that's also a product of our generation, whereas previous generations, it's kind of like you have to do this for your family, you have to do this for society, your community.
Picture.
Yeah, larger picture. And now we do have the tools to be able to really focus on ourselves, which I think is better because it leads to happier and more productive people.
Right.
Which will, you know, I do think millennials do care about their communities.
Right. I think we're just realizing a more effective way to benefit those communities.
Yeah.
Whereas, and everything's of course like it's subject to the circumstance. So it was our parents were coming out of a world war and even like the extended effects of a civil one. It was still a lot going on, and our parents were growing up, and they needed to push that message of community and in the larger picture, your nation, you need to benefit the larger picture. You need to become part of something. So they needed people to join different community organizations. They needed people to join army coalitions. They needed people to take care of the homestead when people were away in the military. So they instilled these values, but now they're starting to fall away as we're falling out of need for military participation. I think we're seeing a drop in numbers in military participation. We don't really need to benefit that bigger picture anymore, but we still see, I think, a lot of benefit. I think this feeds into the mom and pop restaurants we were talking about in our immediate communities, our small communities. I know a lot of millennials that are really dug into their communities and really a part of their communities. They visit the shops and they know their neighbors, and they patronize the shop owners around their buildings and where they live, you know?
Yeah,
so I think we definitely still sense community.
Yeah, and increase in members of the DSA, I think, is also super indicative of that too. You have people who are really involved in you know, local politics and their what's happening in their communities too. I mean, is it like tripled after the election or something? But young people are really, really getting involved and really care about what's going on in their immediate community as well as, you know, the country and the world at large too. So,
Yeah.
All right. You want to move on to the next thing?
Let's do it.
All right,
chug-a-lug right along.
So on the main show, we noticed like a few stories, and we wanted to kind of elaborate on them and offer more of a millennial viewpoint on it, because we felt like, you know, we just had some stuff to say. And those happened to be around two particular gentlemen who we just didn't think get it. They don't get it, and particularly when it comes to feminism and body positivity and women.
Mm-hmm.
So the first dude, what is his name? His name is Rob Tripp, aka at Tripp on Instagram.
He is a Tripp for sure.
I mean, the story's been around. It's not totally new, but it was a guy who basically made this Instagram post praising his curvy His curvy wife. What did he call on his in his bio on Instagram? It says husband to a curvy goddess. So already, you know what you're in for. So I'll just start off by reading what his Instagram. So it's a picture of him and his wife and his his curvy goddess of a wife. He says, "I love this woman and her curvy body. As a teenager, I was often teased by my friends for my attraction to girls on the thicker side, ones who were shorter and curvier, girls that the average basic bro might refer to as chubby or even fat."
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Don't want to be, you know, controversial.
Yeah, or even fat.
But then, as I became a man and started to educate myself on issues such as feminism, he's heard the word.
Did he put it in quotes?
No, he didn't. Okay, he just said it. And how the media marginalizes women by portraying a very narrow, does that also mean thin? A very narrow and very specific standard of beauty, in parentheses, thin, tall, lean. That's how I like my chicken. I realize how many men have bought into that lie. For me, there's nothing sexier than this woman right here. Thick thighs, big booty, cute little side roll, etc. Her shape and size won't be the one featured on the cover of Cosmopolitan. Her face and size won't be the one featured on the cover of Cosmopolitan, but is the one featured in my life and my heart. There's nothing sexier to me than a woman who's both curvy and confident. Do you want me to finish this?
It's almost. You can if you want.
A real woman is not a porn star, or a bikini mannequin, or a movie character. She's real. She has beautiful stretch marks on her hips, cute little dimples on her booty. Girls, don't ever fool yourself by thinking you have to fit into a certain mold to be loved or appreciated. You too can be loved by some douchebag on Instagram. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that what we want? So let's break this down. Let's start with the phrase. Her shape and size won't be the one featured on the cover of Cosmopolitan, but it's the one in my life and my heart. So on the show, I feel like some people didn't really see what was wrong. They thought that this was great. Oh, great, this guy is praising his beautiful, thick goddess of a wife. But
he was very easily pardoned.
Right, and Jaguri and I were very surprised by that because we think that this guy is a jerk.
This guy is self-serving to say the least.
Yeah.
He's a piece of work. It gets pretty deep, and the language of the article is worded in such a way that it's so self-serving. It's so self-worshipping and patting himself on the back. It doesn't read in the sincere way that somebody who just loves their significant other would post about them. It seems such like a gimmick. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't make me feel good at all.
Yeah, it felt like he was trying to convince himself. Like he was saying, like, yeah, I know that it's not the standard, but I'm fine with it. You know, like that he's trying to prove something to somebody else.
She'll never be featured.
Basically, in a nutshell, that his wording is saying that it is wrong, but despite the fact, I love her anyway.
Yeah.
And for him to really love his wife, he should put up a picture of his wife and say, look at this woman. I love her so much. She's so beautiful. She's the best. Not to be like, listen, she's real thick, but I'm fine with it. Like, it's incredibly condescending, and it's very similar to a lot of language that a lot of, like, faux male feminists will use to women. Like, I'm sorry, but guys out there, like, if you boast about the fact that, like, I don't care about what a woman looks like or, like, I believe in equality, like, that's great. You don't deserve a parade. You're just a decent human being, and you get to live in society. Like, that's it. Like, no one's gonna be like, wow, really? Like, if you're a decent human being, then people will keep you around. And if you're not, and you're arrogant, and you're condescending like this, you'll see the people around you just kind of slowly disappear. And you'll just either be with you'll just end up with someone who's probably dead inside. Like, I don't know. Like, that's just a really... This is like the most painful kind of person to be around, right?
It's soul sucking. It's soul sucking. And just like I said, the language around it was in such a way that it was like you said, he was compensating. Like,
yeah.
You know, she won't be the one featured in Cosmopolitan. What? No, no one brought that up. You were the one that said that. No one said that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, also, you know, Asher, it's fine. I didn't get chocolate ice cream earlier. Like, what? You didn't? I didn't say what? Who bought up chocolate ice cream? Like, who bought up Cosmopolitan, right. dude? Like, you're the one. Like, I don't understand. I don't.
Yeah, that's like saying like you're beautiful. You would never like. Win a beauty contest or anything, and you're like, well, shit, man. Like,
yeah, like,
that's rude.
But I think you're beautiful nonetheless.
But yeah, despite your hideous face, I think it's pretty.
Yeah, like, it does, and it makes such a spectacle out of something that, in my opinion, if it is something that you feel, it should just be part of your, like, your life. Like, that's just another thing. Like, I don't make posts about how much I like chicken legs over chicken thigh. Like, if you have a preference, that's fine, have it. But, like, why are you stating it? Why are you making articles about it? Why are you monetizing off of having a thick white, like, I don't understand. It's not something that's monetizable. It's literally something that people have done from the beginning of time since marriage was a concept. They've had curvy wives. You don't get an award for this. You don't get to be paraded because you love your curvy wife and you know that everyone else is whispering behind your back and like, you get over yourself, get over yourself, get over yourself. It's not, you don't deserve this. You're sick, you're gross, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're using your wife and her completely normal like body size to make yourself like an internet phenomena and make yourself a platform and give yourself an opinion, a controversial opinion that's really not controversial, dude. People have been having amazing sex and wonderful relationships and loving women of all sizes for all of time. Like you're nothing new, I don't understand.
And even like look in major fashion magazines, there's still people like Ashley Graham in there. And
I don't know
like,
who that is.
She's a plus size model.
I hate that term. I hate that term so much. Can we specify all the other models as like negative size models?
Exactly, plus size models literally
plus
like
and negative
over
size
4
yeah.
and you're plus size. So I don't like it either.
If you're like under a size 5, like you're a negative size model from now on. Like average size is like 5 to 8. And those are models.
Mini size.
And then like plus size. And then like, no, it's negative size.
Negative size.
Mini size sounds too fun. Like it's negative size.
She's pocket size.
You're plus size and negative sized, okay?
She's party size. You know,
she's,
I think the point that I would like to make, and that I think it is, and that it applies to all different types of things within social justice, within body positivity, that if you make it about you and it's not about you, then you're doing it wrong. You know, like it's the same thing goes with racism. The same thing goes, you know, with injustice at all. If it somehow becomes about you, then it's wrong. This woman is a beautiful woman and she's just gonna go through life. And yes, some people will disagree with the way that she looks because they have a standard of beauty. And just by her accepting herself and loving herself, that's you know, that can be controversial and that can say, a lot, and that's great. But if you say that, wow, I'm accepting her, therefore I'm the winner here, then that's terrible. That's making it about yourself. And that's never good. If you want to be an ally to anyone, if you want to be a feminist, like guys out there, if you want to be a feminist, don't make feminism about you. Make it about women and make it about equality. So did you ever watch Buffy?
Yeah. Oh, she slays those vampires, man.
Dude.
She slays those vampires.
And then she slays.
And then she
with
slays.
With her witty comments.
You know?
You know who's not,
biting
doesn't
wit.
Slay? Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon. So, Joss Whedon, which again, we did cover, he, you know, Joss Whedon created Buffy the Vampire Slayer, directed Avengers, did Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Very fun things. He always touted himself. Again, I think he's in the same class as this guy as a male feminist and a super woke dude.
Another phrase.
And I think he uses a lot of that similar dialogue. And I'm trying to find the, he always, touted himself as this great feminist. And then his now ex-wife kind of came out and talked about how horrible he was throughout the marriage, how he cheated on his wife the whole time, and how he was never a feminist. And he kind of, so the argument has been like, is he still a feminist? Because he cheated on his wife or he's not. But I think he's also one of those people that's like, look at me, I'm putting women in roles. Like, I'm so, you know. And he also, so when he was talking to his wife about why he cheated on her. This is one of the phrases he used. This is when I was running Buffy, I was surrounded by beautiful, needy, aggressive young women. I felt like I had a disease, like something from a Greek myth. Suddenly, I'm a powerful producer, and the world is laid out at my feet, and I can't touch it. So I think anyone that views women like they're a siren, that they're just like, oh, women throwing themselves at me, like you're not a feminist. Like, you're just, what do you think about that, Ja'Cory? Like, if you are just... Like, if you're just treating women like, oh, there's just these beautiful creatures and I can't resist myself.
So this is kind of why it might spark an interesting conversation, but this is why I don't really like the term feminist, especially for dudes. I understand completely, before we get into it, like, I understand completely the need to have a label and have something to rally behind and to have to put a name to something to, like, empower people. I totally understand that. But on the other hand, I feel it's weird to label something that's just treating other people like fucking human beings. Yeah. Like, it's just the base level of humanity. It's treating every human being, like, with respect and, like, they deserve love and care like everyone else does. They just want to live their life and go home at the end of the day. I think that's, it's weird to have a special name for that. Someone once said, and I liked that, the bad people in society get the names. Those are the criminals. They're labeled a criminal. You're a felon. You fucked, like, you messed up. Like, you now get a label because of that. The good people, they're just like, yeah, they're citizens, but we don't call people citizens. Those are just people walking around. Those are just people to us. You know what I mean? We don't give them a special label because they treat everyone normally. I think we should normalize treating everyone of all identities, all genders, as people, and should normalize that. But I understand the need to rally behind something and, like, have a name to put to it and have, like, you know what I mean? Like, have something to gather under, an umbrella to gather under. I totally understand that. It's just on the male end of things. And this is why I think that it's weird to label yourself as such. And me and my friends got into a long, heated argument about it. Like, would you wear a shirt that says feminist, like, as a dude? And I think not, because I don't, like, who am I to decide what is and isn't feminist? As far as I understand, even within the feminist movement, there's discrepancy about, like, what it does or doesn't mean. And, like, there are different, like, definitions that different sex claim, but, like, I feel far be it from me to say, like, I am the representation of feminists, especially on a shirt that stays on me all day. Like, at every point in time, I am the representation of how you should treat women. Like, beware of that dude that thinks he's, like, the definition of how you should treat another human. Like, I'm a person trying to figure out how to treat other people as kindly as possible, and I'm doing the best I can.
I think, like, unless you're at, you know, like, a women's march or something, like, as a guy wearing a feminist shirt, like, I am gonna immediately think, like, is he one of, like, those dude feminists that just, like, interrupts you as you're talking at a party, like, oh, by the way, I'm a feminist. I am in an open relationship, except my girlfriend is not. you know what I mean?
That kind of guy. That is the realest Los Angeles statement I have ever heard in my life. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, that's, it is kind of, I get super leery of that. Like, anyone who's like, ally, wears an ally shirt. You're like,
are you making
it about yourself? But I think that is a good sign of the times that we're in, that we have all of these words to describe basically, like, decent human being, you know, words like ally, words like feminist.
Yeah.
Ouch. So I think that is a sign that I think a lot of these issues are being brought to light. So finally people are kind of standing up and saying, no.
I think it's definitely a sign of a lot of voices being represented now, a lot of people getting representation and platforms to speak and be heard and have their voices heard, and a great show of people that want to support that. And I think that is amazing. And I would never take that away from anyone or tell anyone they shouldn't claim that. I just say myself personally, I'm weary of it, because I understand that I am a flawed human being and I'm capable of making mistakes, and I'm not always going to, like, I was raised in the patriarchy too. Like, I was raised with things being a certain way and things being talked about a certain way and people being referenced in a certain way. So if I do slip up and make a mistake, like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm a human, I'm flawed, and that happens, and I'm ready to acknowledge that and learn from it and move on and get on the right page, you know what I mean? But it doesn't, you know what I mean? I feel like it's a little pretentious to say, like, I get it now, I've got it, I've got all the tenets of it, I get it, like, I'm done. I am Buddha level of respecting other human beings.
Quite woke.
Yeah. No, it feels weird to label myself woke bae or something.
As long as you don't see those words as dirty words, you know, like, I understand, like, the, you know, seeing the, like, I wish we didn't have to have a need for these words.
Yeah,
but
totally.
As long as you're not viewing them as, like, a dirty word.
No, definitely
like,
not.
I would never label myself as a feminist because I'm a man, which I know you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
For our viewers at home.
Yeah. I totally get the need for it and why it exists, and I will, again, never take it or deny it from anyone.
Yeah, so Joss and Trip or Rip or whatever the guy's name
Trip.
Is.
They call me Trip. Oh, you can't get him to stop?
Yeah, you know, learn from this and hopefully you get it. So, Ja'Cory, there's a poster in the studio.
Yeah, but
I heard there's a story behind it.
There is. Before we get to that, though, I just wanted, like, the bright light at the end of all these stories.
Yes.
The way I likened it to a friend the other day was, getting rid of an infection is a really nasty and messy process. And there was a gross infection left from kind of how the United States was founded and the systems that were in play when it was founded and the effects of those systems. There's a lot of wounds that cause infections in the society of the United States. And now we're clearing out those infections and it's a messy process and it's gross and it's nasty and it's uncomfortable and it hurts sometimes. But it's a sign of moving forward, it's a sign of progressing, it's a sign of healing when you start to go and work through those pains. That's something this country hasn't done on a lot of levels. We never addressed the pains, the problems, and the oppressions we put a lot of different people through. So addressing that and getting all those people heard and making sure we do right by all these people that we've oppressed on all levels, it's gonna be messy, but I think it's a process worth doing and we're seeing the effects of that now.
Yeah, and we can't move forward until we address all that and acknowledge it and take steps to make it better and make the future. You can't just move forward and have a positive future without, you know, healing the past. It's like a concept like therapy. Like, you go to therapy because you're sad now, it's usually because of stuff that happened before.
Bandages are temporary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bandages are temporary. They're not meant to fix a problem. And we put bandages over a lot of the issues and mistakes we've made in this country. So let's clean that wound.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, on another positive note, I ride public transportation and that puts me in the middle of all sorts of amazing interactions and wonderful just pictures of the human experience, and I get to meet all sorts of people. And I've told a few stories on the post game about it and on other platforms.
Like in person.
Like in person.
Friendship.
But yeah, we're friends, get it? You're not, we are. So this morning on my commute, I was running through the train station as usual, and Westlake by my house. You can come find me. I'm a pretty nice dude in real life.
By that seafood restaurant.
Yeah, the seafood restaurant. It's super not sketchy, trust me. Riding through the subway this morning, and I cross through the turnstile, and I look on the ground, and there's this poster. And, like, first of all, super sketchy. What? Ew, ground, subway, two words that really don't go together. But I looked at it, and just a couple of things about myself. I'm super into funk and, like, the era of, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire and disco and, like, the 60s era and, like, just, like, sequins and disco and real dance parties where people just dance their asses off and just real discos where the DJ was really spinning music that he had made and stuff like that off of a turntable. I just love that era. And it's, my parents were old school and, like, really raised me with that. So it's something I had appreciation for growing up. So that comes to this poster. And it is something that resonates with me so strongly. Like that, it gets me going. It is something that, it is evocative of an era. It is evocative of a spirit, of a room. It has a feel to it. It has an aesthetic to it. It has such a genuine, I love the candidness of it. It's not posed for, no one's trying to look a certain way. People are just kind of feeling how their body feels to a certain pattern of rhythms. And that is something so beautiful to the human experience. I think that, like, no matter the times, no matter who's president, no matter what's going on socially, politically, there's dance, there's love, there's beauty, there's happiness in life, there's something to look forward to. There's excitement, there's just the downright dirty, funky boogie. And, you know, we can always look forward to that, you know?
That's wonderful. That's so great. Yeah. That just makes you want to go out and dance. Right. Everyone feels so great when they're dancing. If you're not, you're dancing in the wrong place.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That being said, it's Friday. Go dance. This wasn't recorded on Friday, so if the world ended on Friday, sorry. We didn't know about it. We'll learn.
Our apartment's already on fire. We don't know.
Malcolm and the crew will be back next week. But for now...
Oh, we got to let Tim out of that closet.
Oh, yeah. We got to... So stay strong. We're going to go free Tim Collins.
Stay strong. Stay strong, Tim.
Stay strong. Too strong.